Welcome to the Relationship as Medicine podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Lee. Outdoor adventure enthusiast, dog mom to Luna, world traveler, longtime meditator, espresso lover, and a trained somatic psychotherapist, trauma specialist, and certified coach. Talking about trauma doesn't have to be so daunting. From a connected place, we can navigate anything together. Looking forward to exploring with you today. Here we go. I am very grateful to get to be here today with Michelle Saltz. We are really looking forward to having a conversation about so many things, but really around how our healing work and embodiment work can also be supported by nature. And Michelle and I have known each other for quite a long time. and so I'm really looking forward to seeing how this conversation unfolds, to see what comes in alongside of this topic. I know we'll talk a bit about kind of how to be with the ever-changing nature of reality, how to be with how our bodies and nature support us and teach us in the life cycles that we move through, how we can use our tools wisely and skillfully and know which tools work best for us. And we'll talk about the importance of being consistent with our practices, but the practices that are actually really supporting us and authentic to us and unique to us, and so much more. Michelle is an art therapist, an intimacy and relationship coach, and a somatic experiencing practitioner. She's been guiding clients for over 20 years using tools such as breath, meditation, imagery, and movement to regulate and shift their experiences to make powerful choices. She's a passionate believer that the body speaks its own language, carries infinite wisdom, and can serve as compass and guide. She embraces transitions, relationships, and nature as teachers, and her experience informs her practice. Her life has been an evolving journey of self-discovery and an ongoing resource in her work. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Shelby. It is what a pleasure it is to be here with you in this capacity. As you said, we've known each other quite a while, and our relationship has evolved as well.
Many chapters and layers.
Many chapters and layers.
Yeah. Is there anything that I didn't share in your bio that you'd like to share? Like, where are you? How are you?
Where am I and how am I? Well, I'm in Connecticut, and I live on a flower farm of all places, which is kind of an unusual thing to say, but I really do have a relationship with my land and with nature because of where I live and because I've chosen to live here. I used to live in the suburbs and before that in New York City, and I do go back and forth between city and country. And I notice a huge difference in my own nervous system regulation and my ability to be with myself when I'm in the country versus city.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something we both really share, is how much nature is a resource for us and how supported we feel outside of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Connecticut. Okay. So we are oriented to place. I'm curious what inspired you or inspires you to support people in your work and the way that you support them. What sparked it for you?
I think that growing up and in my young adulthood, I was very reactive. it was as if like the weather was always affecting me. And I felt like I had no control over it. And we don't have any control over the weather. And I think that that was my first entree into wanting to be a therapist, and particularly an art therapist. I always loved art and was a very sensual person. So being able to, I wanted to help people way back when, because I was so affected by my own emotions and my own, I guess, reactivity. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long road with all different kinds of tools to learn about the nervous system and how people are wired and how everybody is so unique in this. And you put that together with the outside world and what you come with, mm-hmm. and you just never know what it's going to bring. But it's really good, you know, to be able to have a connection and an attunement and a control with yourself when everything is constantly changing. And that's really my passion, is to help people see that they have choice and can ground and be with themselves no matter what.
Mm-hmm. That really sounds like healing. Yeah. Being in a state of reactivity sounds like could be a trauma response, you know, or a stress response, of course. And then being able to have some sense of choice and agency. And my story of what you're saying is some steadiness amidst all of those uncontrollable circumstances, all that weather out there.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you be? And what can you do despite whatever?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned tools and a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious, what have been some of the tools that have really helped you resource, and some of the tools that you enjoy sharing in your work that have made that kind of impact?
So I'm a big meditator, but I have a really busy mind. And so one of the things that has been most supportive to me in my practice and in helping other people be present is breath work, and really learning how to attune to the breath. And there are so many different things that people mean when they say breath work. There are hundreds of different kinds of breath work. And when I say it, I mean, I'm aware I have my own breath apothecary, things that I do for in response to different situations, but just the breath, just being with the breath is so grounding. If you can slow down and quiet down enough to listen and be with that. Yeah. So that's a huge tool for me.
Breath.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you shared that you are a longtime meditator and you have a busy mind. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I am the same. And I think so many of us come in with the stories that we need to have a quiet mind in order to meditate or in order to utilize these kinds of resources. And it's honestly, for me, just helps me embrace it more. It helps it bug me less. You know, it's like, yeah, there's that train rolling through that was always rolling through. And I'm also here, you know, there's room for this part and there's room for that part. Meditating and breath work and all the resources just help us be more ourselves.
And again, you know, in nature is a huge resource for me, obviously, but in response to like images of nature, you know, it's the cloud is just passing. It's the thought is just passing. You know, it's the rainstorm that's just passing, and it will pass. And if you choose to put your attention on the spot of sun or the breath, as opposed to the problem, the voice, the criticality, the thing you have to do later, it can really help. And the breath is so steady in that because it's always there. It's an anchor.
Yeah. An anchor, not an anger, just for clarification.
An anchor. Yes. Yeah.
Something to just hold us steady. Not yeah. Everybody has an easy time working with the breath, or, you know, folks have asthma or COPD or something that makes it so challenging or overwhelming. Are there mm-hmm. other things that people can connect with in a similar fashion that can bring that kind of anchor that you use?
Yeah. I mean, I would say all the senses. Like I'm closing my eyes in this moment because the eyes are a huge regulator. You know, you can close and open your eyes. Like when you need things to slow down or you need to go in, just knowing that you can let your gaze go a little bit soft or look at something pleasant in nature, for example, or in your environment. It really can bring your attention to something that feels more nourishing or supportive or beautiful, and bring it a little bit more away from this loop that our minds sometimes get into. Mm-hmm. So the eyes, you know, all the senses, ears, you know, just being able to listen to something of your choosing that is pleasant. Music, nature, the buzzing of bees, birds, all these things can bring us into the present moment and out of the stories that are created from our histories and old patterns, which may no longer serve us.
Mm-hmm. And we make it sound so easy, but it is at first often an effortful choice to go, I'm going to trust this. Like, how could focusing on my breath really help me be less reactive? You know, I walked through the world for decades feeling completely assaulted by everything in the world. And the level of reactivity and out of my window of tolerance and the threat that my body was registering, to even imagine I could just focus on my breath or just listen to the buzzing of the bees. It felt like putting like the tiniest little Band-Aid on top of like a gaping wound. Yet what I learned over time was that it actually does help. We create these new neural pathways every single time we try even a little bit to choose presence instead of those things that bring us into reactivity, into those thought loops, into the, what do I need to do? What did I do? All of it. I'm not enough. I'm too much. All the stories and the things we have all day running through our minds, but with a little bit of faith and trust and just getting a positive experience for 3 breaths, 5 minutes, 1 hour, and being as consistent as possible. Now, I used to think that meant I needed to have a 45-minute daily practice every single day, and that didn't work for me. It actually made it much harder.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure to be the perfect meditator because I wanted to do everything perfectly or not at all.
You don't have 45 minutes. It's just not going to work.
No, but I could listen to the bees buzzing for 25 seconds and it's pretty amazing what happens. And then you actually find yourself wanting to do it more easily because it's not pressured.
Yes. And you make a really good point about the amount of time that you have. We only can work with the amount of time that we have. And if we can find a practice or a way of being for 30 seconds, my cat is right here, as you can hear. We can use the time that we have. And even 30 seconds can make a difference. And 30 seconds can turn into a minute. And we widen our window of tolerance. We widen our ability to pay attention to something that is soothing or take our attention away from something that is very disturbing that we're creating ourselves.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
Something that I was doing while you were talking, I noticed was that I just had my hand on my chest, and I shouldn't forget to mention touch as a very important source of regulation. As an intimacy and relationship coach, touch is just so essential. Self-touch, co-regulated touch. And when I say that, I mean, you know, having somebody that you feel safe enough to hold their hand or, you know, be shoulder to shoulder. And just the strength and power of touch is, it's our first language as infants, and it gives us so much regulation.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of it as supportive touch. You know, so many of us have had experiences in our life, even as infants, where touch was not regulating. It was very scary or overwhelming. And so when we can, in a safe enough, like you said, environment or safe enough connection, start to take in supportive touch, healing touch, it can do such an incredible number on the nervous system, where it's like, oh, it could actually be something that I could take in that would be supportive and nurturing and healing. It's so beautiful. And I know there's so many schools of thought in the therapy world and other healing worlds around trauma, and like, oh, we don't touch, that could trigger something. And I just love what I heard Peter Levine say in person on a retreat, which is, what happens when we don't touch, when it's needed, and when we can offer a supportive healing touch, and when it's wanted, and when there's consent, it can change and rewire some of those things that we didn't get as infants and beyond.
Yeah, it can change everything.
Yeah.
And it's so simple.
Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all, just pausing the podcast episode for a moment. I promise we'll be right back. But I wanted to take a second to let you know about Intelligent Change and their incredible tools that have personally helped me so much in my business and in my daily emotional life. I use their productivity planner all of the time to help get my brain focused. It can be all over the place, truly. As an entrepreneur and a business owner, there are 1,000 things that need to be tended to all of the time. The productivity planner helps me really get focused on what I need to do right here and right now. It gives me so much space to actually just rest in my time where I'm not focused on work, which is invaluable to me. I can get quite anxious if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing and when. As somebody with complex PTSD and a tendency towards depression and anxiety, their gratitude journal has helped me so much in those quiet moments before bed and waking up to focus my mind, heart, and body towards focusing on what's good, what's going well, and allowing me to have a little more space to just settle in to these beautiful, precious moments. I can't recommend these enough. I'll drop their link in the show notes.
So my point about touch was, it's something that we can give ourselves, and it is safe, and it is grounding. It allows us to be a little bit more present with ourselves, just knowing that we've got, for example, our own hand on our chest or our legs or our seat in the chair. And just remembering that with our own touch, that's a huge resource for me and with my clients and my work, just bringing them back to the moment of where they are in their body.
And at first it might feel so awkward or contrived or silly or dumb or foreign, you know, and with that practice, with the willingness, something can change. And maybe it's hand to heart. Maybe it's, you know, touching the face. Could be really giving a good squeeze. Some people like firm contact. It's about the curiosity, you know, what kind of touch feels nice to my body? What kind of touch feels okay? What kind of touch doesn't feel good? And not everyone is going to be the same, but once we find that and practice it, it can become much more natural. I had a thing last night where, my heart was scared and I was in a little bit of a worry and I just like not wanting to feel my feelings. And I just naturally felt my hand go to my heart and just really sweet words that came, you know, like, it's okay, sweetheart. This is about your past. This is not about present. You're safe here. And like, then I could feel my feelings. I could feel the grief of the past and everything that happened. And then I was here, you know, and it came just the natural hand to heart. I didn't even have to think about it, but that took a lot of practice. It took a lot of sitting in compassion practices, being like, this is dumb. I don't like this. I look stupid. I'm tough. I don't need this, you know? And then something different happened.
Well, and as an intimacy and relationship coach, it's really like noticing what feels good. What feels good? And if it doesn't feel good, it's a no. Mm-hmm. No, it's just, even for yourself, it's like, does this feel good? No. I don't want to do that. But this, oh, that feels so good, you know, holding my face in my hands. And, you know, sometimes maybe even just like playing with your hair, you know, I don't know, like your neck, your hair, just how do you soothe and feel good with yourself? Our bodies are so miraculous in that sense that they do, we have nerve endings and they feel everything. And so many of those things can feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple things.
I'm so glad you brought that in. Such a beautiful resource. Mm-hmm. It makes me think about the connection between nature and our bodies, mm-hmm. and together what they have to teach us about ourselves and our life cycles. And I know that you teach about this and share about this. What comes up for you as we think about that?
So we're so intricately connected with all living things. We all have cycles and seasons and beginnings and ends and middles. And just by watching how things grow and being with the different stages, I think there's a lot that we can see and learn about our own bodies, about our own aging process, about our own ability to feel stable. You know, like I watch a tree and I watch it swaying in the breeze. And I sometimes will emulate the tree, like in my own movement, you know, standing very firmly on the ground, imagining that I have roots and listening to music and just being able to like imagine my body just going with what's with the wind, with whatever's coming at it, and knowing that I'm anchored and rooted in the ground and I can move. And there are so many aspects of movement in nature and visualization in nature and cycle in nature that we also have in our own bodies.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a teacher. It's a teacher. Nature is a teacher of what we can do, of what we can know, of how we can be.
Yeah. It's, for me, it makes regulating and resourcing so much easier. Like all I have to do is get my feet outside on the earth and walking. Thankfully, I have a dog. Because I can be real stubborn. But once I am out there, I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is find the pace that my body is willing to walk, lift my eyes, allow them to take in the environment, kind of expand as wide as I can. And something happens. The trees are resonating with my body, the cells of my body, the wind, the temperature, the sounds. And it feels like there's something that comes back in, you know, that left, right, bilateral movement of the walking. I don't have to do anything. I am being guided and held, and not in a woo-woo way, in a very literal sense out there.
Yeah, it's for me too. I completely relate to what you're saying. I also have a dog. We call her our natural adaptogen because dogs are also, so animals are so regulating. They give us so much and they ask for very little in return. And they're these comfort objects and so funny and joyful. So just being outside with her in nature and watching how she engages can just bring me right into what's right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And not everybody has access to nature or comfort in mm-hmm. nature. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel much more safe inside or in the city. Whereas people like us probably maybe feel safer out there. But for those of you that don't have access but enjoy nature, even just imagining it, even just allowing your senses to fill in the present moment with the imagined experience of nature, it does something. Like even in this moment, if you want to picture standing in front of one of your favorite trees, barefoot, the air as perfect as it could be, with all the sounds, something starts happening. We can become aware of how our breath experiences that, what happens in the mind, the tension or lack of tension in the body. I noticed both of us kind of just started moving, you know, there's a fluidity that showed up.
Yeah. And I think fluidity is a huge key to this because we want the life force moves. We want our life force to be moving and not stuck. So anything that can get us out of like a very stuck moment or place, walking, looking, listening, it helps us move along and not be stuck. And nature doesn't stop. It just keeps going, And we are alive and we do too. But sometimes we can get stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of teachers, lots of tools.
Yeah.
And we both kind of teach about and share about different tools for different people at different times, I think. Would you say you do that as well?
Absolutely.
How do folks find the teachings that work for them in the most supportive ways?
I think that it's trial and error to some degree. I mean, I've gotten very good at knowing immediately, like when something feels like a yes for me. I think that there's like an internal yes and no, or maybe we don't know, that when you really listen to that instinct, that gut instinct, gives you a lot of information. Again, you know, the body giving us information, and it's hard to explain like what an internal yes feels like versus an internal no, but it feels like to me internally, like I'm ready to go. Like I'm ready to, like I'm coming forward. You know, I'm rising up. There's an energy or something that comes up. And to me, when I'm trying something new, if I have that feeling, or if I meet someone and I have that feeling, or somebody gives me a practice and I have that feeling, it's a yes. And sometimes there's like an absolute standstill and I can't go anywhere. And that's my no. And with any teacher, with any tool, with any practice, with any activity, it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle. And you just, for me, it's like, give it a little try. Give it a little try. See how it feels. It may be new. It may be uncomfortable. If it feels okay, you could try it again. And sometimes it's a matter of getting used to something that's new. And sometimes it's a matter of it just not being for you at that moment, at that time. And maybe a month or two later, you try it again and you're like, whoa, that was amazing. And it's just because we're always in different places ourselves. So I would say that for me, I never know. Sometimes I can have a practice that I'm doing every day for like a week. And then the next week I wake up and I'm like, well, that didn't work. It just didn't give me the same effect as it had the week before. And so it really, for me, is a lot of trial and error. But noticing when something feels right, when something feels aligned, when something feels resonant and good, when something gives me energy or feels nourishing rather than draining.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Gives you energy instead of draining you.
Yeah. And those are the things, you know, I encourage people to notice and to say yes to. Does it give you energy? Does it feel nourishing?
Yeah.
Do you want to be with that?
Yeah. And there's seasons. For myself, I find sometimes I'm done with a practice. You know, I will feel nourished by it. I'll learn a lot about myself from it. I will integrate it so much. It's not something I need to go directly do anymore. After time, it's just here. And so it's important to listen to the energy where there's aliveness and when it feels flat and something else is calling. And then for some of us, it's good to stay with some things for a while, even when they are not the most entertaining thing, because we learn a lot about ourselves when we do the same practice consistently again and again. We have to be mindful not to be just moving away from discomfort, to be like, oh, I don't like that. But it might actually be because of what's happening inside instead of the practice. So staying with something long enough to have a relationship to it where you are more clear. Is this a full-bodied yes? Is this a full-bodied no? Or is there something going on the deeper layers?
Yeah. Is there something more that I need to learn from this or that it might show me?
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun talking about practice and tools. We were talking about, you know, the ever-changing landscapes of life and life cycles and all the natural changes that occur and what it's like to have these resources, to be regulated, to be able to be supported enough to allow the most human thing to happen, which is change, instead of being that reactive state, which I think of as either clinging to more of what we want or pushing away what we don't want, really trying to control things we don't have control over. And so utilizing these tools, sinking into them, letting them teach us, change us, support us, can be a beautiful way to allow life to move through us. I think that's what we're trying to say here. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say, allowing life to move through us. And one of the ways that life moves through us literally is with the breath. So sometimes when I'm breathing, I'm thinking, I am receiving. Like I'm receiving. And with my exhale, often I think I'm releasing. And like even the what I'm receiving, maybe I don't want to hold on to all of it. Maybe I'm not going to hold on to 99.9% of it. I'm releasing it. I'm feeling it. I'm experiencing it with my breath, and I'm releasing it with my exhale because it gets to be there. It may not be what I want to walk around with, but the breath is this ongoing rhythm of give and take. And that's what we get to do as we move through our lives, is choose what we want to hold on to, what we're letting go of. And the breath, I think, is another reminder that we're doing that every moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know you have a practice that you might like to share while we're on the topic of tools, so that maybe people can find something they resonate with. Is there something that you'd like to share today?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, about what I might want to share. The practice that I really want to share is a little too long, so we won't be sharing that today. But that practice involves really tuning into a body part, for example, the heart, and just making contact with it. And so maybe we'll do an abbreviated practice of that today. The heart is a good one. Easily accessible with your hand. And yeah, I would encourage anybody that can in this moment, if you're not driving or doing something, just to take a moment, if it feels comfortable, to make contact with your chest, with your hand. And you might notice the temperature of the hand and the temperature of the chest and what it feels like for one to be holding or touching the other. There's a give and a take here. You might think of the hand as giving and the chest or heart as receiving. And just noticing from the perspective of the chest, what does it feel like to receive the hand? What kind of touch would feel nourishing or pleasant from the hand? Is it a more firm touch or lighter touch? Is it a touch that releases and comes back? A compression? Or maybe even removing your hand and noticing what it feels like when the hand comes away from the chest and that touch is removed. And then we might do the same thing from the perspective of the hand. What does the hand feel like or want? What feels good to the hand touching the chest? Does it like the warmth or the temperature of the chest? Does it want to stay still or move a little bit? Does it like deeper touch or lighter touch? And are there different parts of the hand that notice different things, like noticing each of the fingers, what the fingers want to do or can feel? Or the palm. And just breathing here with the hand on the chest. And maybe for a moment going back to the perspective of the chest. What is the chest want from the hand? Does it want space? Maybe you take your hand off the chest and notice how the chest feels without the hand there. And we have this relationship between our body parts, just a relationship with ourselves, where we can give and take and notice this giving and receiving in any moment as a resource, giving to ourselves. So often we're looking outside for others to give something to us, and we have these miraculous bodies that are resources for ourselves in any moment, at any time. And it can be as simple as a hand on a chest.
Thank you. I feel resourced.
I still feel the sensation of my own hand on my chest with it not there.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Feeling that too.
And also the sensation on my hand, the warmth of my chest, because my hand was cold and my chest was warm. And now they're both kind of in the middle. We met in the middle.
Well, tell us, Michelle, how people can find you and what they'll find when they get there. What are you offering the world right now?
So the thing that I'm the most excited about that I'm offering the world right now is a new program that I've developed with a partner of mine. It's called Home In, and it's really a program about coming home to yourself in any moment, again and again, through change and anchoring into the wisdom of the seasons. We talked a lot in our conversation about change and cycles, and the seasons of the year are such a teacher for me. And the program is based on winter, spring, summer, and fall, and what we can learn from the seasons and from nature about rest, about rebirth, about letting go, these really profound lessons that nature teaches and that we can also experience in our lives and in our bodies. And this is a new program that is a year-long program for a small group of women, and it will be for retreats and Zoom calls for support in between. And I really, I lived and breathed this program, creating it, and found the benefits to be profound in my own life, with my husband, with my children, with my farm, with my land, in every way possible. And it just feels so important and meaningful for me to share what I've learned. So that's the program that I'm offering right now. And you can find it at homeinprogram.com. I'm sure Shelby will share it in the link. And I also offer regular coaching for women and couples, which you can find on my website, which is seasonsoflove.me. And I'd love for people to check it out.
Yeah.
It resonates.
And just to clarify, the four retreats are in person, on land, with people in front of you, not online. So
yeah, it
sounds like you'll really get to practice what you're sharing about.
And they're offered in places that are really embody the essence of every season. So spring and fall are in Connecticut, where I live on my farm, actually. And you know, spring is glorious. It's just flowers everywhere, rebirth everywhere. And winter is in Colorado, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, which is like a winter wonderland. So you really get to immerse yourself in the essence of each season and be with that as you learn the tools.
And Shasta in the summer, right?
Shasta is the summer, and Shasta is, I don't know if anybody has ever been to Mount Shasta, but Mount Shasta is just magical.
I was there yesterday and Whoa. It was summer and it was beautiful.
It's so beautiful and so alive and representative of the savoring every juicy moment of summer.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much, Michelle. Everyone go check out Michelle's websites and offerings. And yeah, just thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really, really appreciate being here with you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Me too. Thank you so much for listening. I have really special news to share. I've planned a deeply nourishing and luxurious retreat for us in Panama in May of next year. It's called Soulful, a somatic embodiment retreat for healing and wellness providers. If you're here listening, it's for you. I created this retreat out of my own burnout, wanting everyone to get the opportunity to return to their own deepest heart with nervous system regulation work, surfing, gentle yoga, and so much more. Come realign with your soul's compass. Expand your capacity to meet life with more ease and sink into really sweet support. Spots are already filling up. Find the link in the show notes or at shelby-lee.com.